Brother Trey Freeman. Our opening prayer will be led by our brother Charles Hopkins, Jr. And our speaker this morning is our brother Gilbert Baldwin. His sermon is titled, Four of the Greatest Gifts. The scripture for this morning's sermon will be taken from the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 18 through 21. And our scripture reader this morning will be our brother Greg Schreiber, presiding at the Lord's table, Jerry White and Wiley Edwards. And then this morning, our brother Greg Schreiber will also lead us in our closing prayer. Our first song this morning is 795, hymn 795. That would be our first song this morning from Brother Trey. And before we sing that hymn, would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Lord, we're just so thankful that you've blessed each and every one of us here, Father, with another day of life, Father, and the health and the strength and the mental wherewithal, Father, rise up out of our beds on the first day of the new week, Lord, that we can openly assemble together, Father, and that we can worship thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Lord. Our Father, we just pray that all of our acts of worship unto thee would be conducted decent and in order, Father, and that all might be most pleasing and acceptable unto thee. We ask these things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
795. Verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels will be from that I'm so unborn, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. There are only 20 years that one thing I hold. My Savior pardoned me, and now I am worthful. I know he'll take me through the and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If hell was not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels that have me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just a free glory that will live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise will back from heaven's door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If hell was not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this
God in prayer this morning, please turn to Hymn Book to page 285. 285. We'll sing all three verses.
There's not a friend like the Holy Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. Not half the years of our Holy Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. You know Jesus, no, God of He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the Holy Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No.
Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for giving us yet another day, for allowing us to rise from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father, breathing into our lungs that breath of life, Heavenly Father, giving us, each and every one of us this opportunity to come together in worship service on this first day of the week, Heavenly Father, to be able to come together in fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that continue to be with us, watch over us. We know that you are always by our sides, Heavenly Father. We know that the things that we face in this world, so much cruelty, Heavenly Father, so many conflicts, things that can cause so much stress, that can cause the wrong reactions, Heavenly Father. And we just pray that as Christians, and we remember that we follow thy word, Heavenly Father. follow that Christian example. We know that whatever we face, we have this avenue of prayer. We can come to you each day of our lives, at any time during the day, Heavenly Father. We can come to you with any problem we face. We don't have to face anything alone. And that we can handle any problem in a manner that would be well-pleasing in thy sight, Heavenly Father. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that we don't get caught up in some of the temptations of this world to react in a way that we know is not going to be pleasing in thy sight, Heavenly Father. That we will just continue to encourage others to live that Christian lifestyle. And just do so by the examples that we show each and every day. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to be with the leaders of this great nation. We pray that they will continue to strive to make this world a better place to live in, that they will work with other world leaders. We know that this world has so many problems to overcome. We just pray that, Heavenly Father, that they will work together to make this world a better place to live in, to make this world a place that would follow the example that you have given us in the Bible, Heavenly Father. And we know that everything would solve so many problems if everyone followed thy example, Heavenly Father. We also pray that you would be with those around the world that have been affected by all the natural disasters. We know there's been great loss of life, that you would help for those to deal with that loss, to comfort them, to help these places recover, that they will receive all the help that is needed during these difficult times. We also pray that you would be with those that were mentioned sick, that you continue to watch over them, and for those that are providing their care so they can be restored to their much-wanted health. We also pray that you would be with the Bryan family at this time during their time of grieving, that they can be comforted during this time. We also pray that you will be with our brother Gilbert as he prepares a lesson for us this morning. We pray that we will give him our undivided attention. Pray that with that which we learn today, that we will apply to our daily lives, Heavenly Father. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with those that may travel, that they can return to and from their destinations safely. We also pray that, Heavenly Father, that those that may be under the weather, that may not be able to attend, we pray that they will one day be able to return back to their service with us. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll watch us as we begin this new week, that you will be with our leaders of this congregation as they continue to keep us safe, as we know the COVID-19 is still out there, Heavenly Father. We pray that we can look out for one another, that safeguards be put in place to make sure we keep each other safe, so that this does not become a pandemic once again, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will watch over us as we begin this new week, that you continue to keep us safe, forgive us of our sins, help us to avoid those temptations that we may face, Heavenly Father. For these things we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name, amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn your hymnals to page 504. 504. See verses 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4.
When peace like a river floods in.
Our Lord Jesus came to earth for one very special purpose. He came that he may die in our stead, that we may have eternal life. He was the perfect Lamb, the Son of God, and he gave freely of himself, knowing that he would have to face death, but he also knew that he would rise again in 3 days. The people didn't believe that when he said that I will raise this temple in 3 days. They didn't understand until that day when he did indeed come out of that grave. And in doing so, he won the victory over death for us. He asked us to remember this day as his remembrance. Each first day of the week, he asked that we remember his body, which represented the bread and the blood in the fruit of the vine. And in doing so, we remember the death, burial, and resurrection. As we bow to him in prayer, let's thank him for the opportunity to be able to commune with him this day, and look forward to the day that we can commune around the table in heaven all together as saints. As we ask this bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here. We thank you that as a family we can take of this bread, partake of this fruit of the vine. Remember your Son as he gave of himself freely for on our behalf. We thank you for that love that flowed so freely from that cross as the blood hit the ground, knowing that it was on ours. We should have been in that place instead of us. Father, we thank you that we have all these opportunities to be able to gather as a family, to be able to know that without him, we would have no hope. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let us give thanks for the cup. Kind and merciful Father, once again, we approach your mighty throne of grace, thanking you ever so much, the perfect blood of Christ Jesus. Thanking you, Father, for his soul-cleansing blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It is a privilege and an honor that we have this memory to remember his shed blood. We give you all praise. We give you all honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
So everyone had a chance to partake of the Lord's Supper. If you have not, signal now by raising your hand. I see no hands, so we will move on. We also have an opportunity now to give back as we've been prospered. But you know what? Jesus gave himself freely. He gave all on our behalf. He has to remember him by giving a little bit of us. But not just a little bit of us, but a part of us that comes from our hearts. For he gave his all, we can give a little. that all may be able to benefit. As we bow in prayer, let's thank him for the opportunities that we have to grow his kingdom and to be able to help those that are around us. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to give back a portion of ourselves. We thank you that in doing so, that we do it freely and without misgivings. We ask that as we do so, that it may benefit not only us as a family, but that we may use it to tell others around that of your Son's saving grace. For Father, this world is in such need of your Son's word. And in doing so, this way we can spread the word much easier. Father, as we give back now, we ask that you bless this as our family. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, mark your hymn books to page 920. 920. That will be our song of encouragement this morning. After marking that, please turn to page 794. 794. We'll sing all three verses. I'd like to add a little again, Stan.
No tears in heaven, no sorrows in heaven, all will be glory in heaven. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness. When we shall find that happy bed, no tears in heaven. will be known. Some morning after we'll seek to ponder or think this life has brought to you. All will be clearer, the one we ever in heaven all will be made new. And there'll be no fear, there'll be no fear, no fear out there. Sorrow and pain will all have gone. And there'll be no fear, no tears, no tears out there, no tears in heaven will be born. There'll be no tears, no tears out there, sorrow and pain will all have gone. There'll be no tears, no tears. No fears out there, no fears in heaven will be gone.
Morning. Scripture this morning is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. The title of this morning's sermon is Four of the Greatest Gifts. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. And now, Brother Gilbert.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see all who could come out today for this service. We are pleased that God has left us, yes, on the time side of life. He is allowing our golden moments to roll on a while longer. You know, there are many people who started out this day, but they will not see this day finish. We should always find time in our busy schedule to thank God for this privilege that he has given unto us. You know, before Jesus mounted the clouds and winged his way back to the Father, he said in no uncertain terms, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. St. John 8:31-32, St. John 17:17. Those words were forthcoming. So then we are primarily concerned with what God has to say relating to your eternal destiny as well as mine. And the only thing that I know about what God wants you to know is what's written in the Holy Bible. If you and I hear and believe those things that are written in the Holy Bible, needless to say, all of us will be children of God and his kingdom, his family, which is the church. Well, we want to say to all of our guests, to our visitors, welcome. We're always happy to receive visitors here at Ypsilanti Church of Christ. And we hope that your visit today is going to be uplifting and rewarding for you. We hope that this visit is going to be so good today that you're going to decide right now that you're coming back again for more. Well, today's topic is Four of the Greatest Gifts. Now, these gifts are reasons for us to be thankful. You know, one of the things that we teach our children when growing up is to say thank you. Now, I believe that that's what God wants all of us to do. I believe this is what he wants us to be aware of. When we go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 18, our scripture text for today, scripture says, "For in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I believe we should always be thankful. But I want you to understand why we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful regardless of whatever is taking place in our lives. We ought to be thankful to that awesome God that you and I serve. You know, Thanksgiving became a national holiday back in 1863. President Lincoln signed a proclamation that the fourth Thursday of every November would be the standard holiday. Well, initially, it was the day giving thanks to God for the bountiful harvest from one's fields. But with this proclamation being signed from the president, this became a day when our nation, as one family, as one union, would thank God for all of the benefits that we had received. Now, I know all of us, even in the midst of these crises that our nation is now undergoing, all of us do have reasons to be thankful to God. You know, ironically, it was during the Civil War that Abraham Lincoln declared the fourth Thursday of November as a national holiday. When I think about reasons for being thankful, it has to do with more than just sitting down to a big turkey dinner. I want you to examine with me today four of the greatest gifts that we have received. First gift that I want to talk about is the Word of God. I believe that the Word of God is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. When we go in our Bible to Psalms chapter 68, verse 11, the Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, great word, the company, those who published it." Over in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God." So the Bible is a volume of love letters from heaven. Someone has said that in nature we see God's hand, but in scripture we see God's face. I believe in Psalms 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible, someone has called it the Mount Everest of the book of Psalms. Because in this book, man is seeking and speaking and telling God of the greatest benefit, all of these things that God has done for him. So evidently from Psalms 119, the psalmist who is in distress, he found comfort in the Word of God. I want you to look at several passages today with me from Psalms 119. I want you to see his love for the Word of God and why this psalmist saw it as a great gift. Well, first of all, when we go to 147, verse 147 of Psalms 119, you'll find that he speaks of his rising early in order to put his hope in the Word of God. Then in Psalms 97, verse 97, he says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all day long." Then in verse 164, he says, "Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments." Then we go to verse 148. He says, "Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word." So if you notice, if you put all of these together, the psalmist saying, early in the morning, all during the day, seven times a day, even at midnight. Now here the psalmist focuses his attention upon the law and the precepts, the statutes, and the commandments of God. He sees the word of God as a light. Psalms 119, verse 5, we quote this all the time where it says, Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So I believe that the gift of the Bible is one of the greatest gifts that God has given to man. It tells me where I came from. It tells me why I'm here. It tells me where I'm going. You know, when I get distressed, I don't need or want to read poetry. I don't want documentaries from newscasters. I don't want to hear the theologians talk about things and say things they think we want to hear. I want to find what thus saith the Lord. So it is in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe is one of the greatest gifts that God has given unto us. And it is worth our saying thank you. God is good all the time. The second gift, which I believe is one of the greatest gifts, is the Son. His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So what is it that God did? He loved us. He gave us his Son. When we look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31, we find that this verse parallels John 3:16, where it says, If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. So how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Whereas John 3:16 is saying, he gave his only begotten Son. And what does that mean, he gave his only begotten Son? I believe that it could only mean that he gave his Son as a sacrifice. This is emphasized in verse 32. He says, He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. He gives to us all things. So God is a God of love. What's interesting about these two passages is that God, we know, is our Father. He is the Lord of all. He is debtor to none, sufficient to and of himself. In other words, he doesn't need us. He does not need us, but God loves us. He loves us so much. Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners. So even while we were sinners, he still loved us. He loved us when we were unlovely, when we were in the very depth of sin. God so loved the world. That means he loved everybody. He loved the Jews, the Gentiles. There are no special interest groups when it comes to God. That is what is interesting about God, who gives us all. He's no respecter of persons. Bible says he is desirous of all men being saved. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, Titus 2, verse 11, says the grace of God has appeared unto all men. That's because God wants everybody to be saved. God is not a God who can be lobbied. He is not a God who can be bribed. God is a God who loves everybody. That's why I'm so glad he loves everybody. God said he loves the world. He loves every person. Whether you were born prior to this day or sometime in the future, God loves every individual. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Therefore, every man should be thankful for the gift of Jesus Christ. In creation, God made man like himself. But in redemption, God made himself like man. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says that, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. What a God we serve. Gift number 3, gift of the church. This is another reason we should all say thank you. Jesus built the church. How do we know? Matthew 16, verse 18, he says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. People who are in the church, we are the called out. He says, I will build my church. People who are called out, called into a fellowship, that's us. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Ephesians chapter 2, in the verses 19 says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. What is the church? The church is the household of God. What is the church? It is a group of people who have been called out into a fellowship. When you think of this wonderful body that you and I are part of, we go over to Matthew 18, verse 20. That has really brought a lot of light to this idea of this new way we think of the body of Christ. We are a part of it. Over in verse 20 it says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Church, ladies and gentlemen, is not just people coming together, but it is our coming together in the name of Jesus. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. What brought us together? The name of Christ. What brought us together? We didn't just come together and then Christ decided to join us. No, no. It is Christ and his great name that brought us together. When you speak in terms of the church, he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst. Contrast this with Judaism. In Judaism, it took 10 males in order to establish a synagogue in any particular city. But Jesus is saying here to them, I don't need 10 males. Where there are two or three gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. So church, when we come together, know for a fact that this is most important to God. Someone might say, well, I can serve God at home. Well, you probably could, but that's not where God wants us to be. The Lord wants us to come together. Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another the more that you see the day approaching. So we see here the Lord wants us to come together in his name, by his authority. He says, there I am in the midst of them. You know, I did some research on this phrase, in the midst of them. Matter of fact, I had almost named this sermon in the midst of them. Every time the Lord was in the midst of them, a blessing always came to those who were gathered together. Go with me, if you will, to John 20 and the verses 19. You know, I don't care how much you study the Word of God, how often you read your Bible and just think about what you read, something else always catches your attention. And it helps you to realize, and it drives home a point. And you say to yourself, I should have known that already. But it just came to you, and I'm excited when that happens. All right, John 20, verse 19. Said, then the same day at evening, now this is after the resurrection, being the first day of the week, which is the same day that you and I should come together, when the doors were shut, remember that, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. You notice in verse 26, now this after Thomas had missed the first meeting, well, Thomas made the second meeting. So, and after 8 days again, his disciples were again assembled. And Thomas was with them at this time. Then came Jesus. Listen, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Whew. But a blessing came when they came together. The Lord was in the midst of them. This was on the first day of the week. I want to back that up. Go to Revelation chapter 1. See, this is John speaking. He says, I was in the spirit of on the Lord's day. And you know that is a fact. Okay, so Revelation 1, verse 10. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write it in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. You know, every time you look at the church, you find the disciples coming together, the Lord is always in the midst of them. And a blessing always comes, whether it's a revelation or whether it's a peace that God brings, but it always comes when we are together. So I'm saying to you that the gift of the church is a reason for all of us to say thank you. I'm glad to know that in the church, we find the best people in the church. You ought to find the best young people in the church. You ought to find the best employees in the church. You ought to find the best friends in the church. You ought to find the best parents in the church. Thankful for the church. When I think about how my life has been affected by being here in the church, fellowship with my brothers and sisters for many, many years. We've been here a long time together, working together, working things out, making this thing come together because the Lord has instructed us to do so. You know, we have different occupations. Somebody may work at a school. Somebody else may be an auto worker. Somebody may be a nurse or in the medical field. Some could be a pharmacist. Somebody else might be a policeman or a fireman or a first responder. What God has done, God has given us a church. And the church is a family, and the church is the family of God. And what he does is he brings us together weekly, or even more often, whereby we are in fellowship. And so we can give one another the support and the strength that we all need to carry on. We don't want to get this close to the finish line and fall down. We need each other. I'm glad that I can come here and get encouragement. I want to meet our friends, our brothers, and our sisters here. It's a blessing to be in the church. The church breaks down barriers, young and old, rich, well, some almost rich and poor. Lord is in their midst. Lastly, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. I believe that all of these gifts are the greatest. You know, we talked about the Word of God. We talked about the Son, Jesus Christ. We talked about the church. I want to talk for a moment about the Holy Spirit. Over in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive," here it comes, "the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is one of God's greatest gifts. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "The Holy Spirit is in the business of molding us. It's in the business of putting us back together when things are just not going right." Bible says the Holy Spirit is bringing out the best in us. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, all of those wonderful virtues we can find in here in the body of Christ. Each one of us here in the church has received the gift of the Spirit. Spirit is aiding us in becoming what God would have all of us to be. Yes, he has. As I conclude this morning, why are these the greatest gifts? Listen, because they are eternal. You see, if God just blesses us with material things, you know, material things come and they go. But I believe these four are the greatest because they are eternal. Hebrews 12:28. We receive a kingdom which shall never be moved. In other words, the Word, the Son, the Church, the Holy Spirit will never leave us. They are eternal. Never lose their value. These four gifts are universal. You know, you don't have to have a certain economic standing socially. Some people just love to distinguish between one another with the differences of material things, but these four gifts are for everybody. These four gifts are unparalleled. You cannot compare anything to these four gifts. What book are you going to compare to the Bible? What man are you going to compare to Jesus? What institution on this earth can be compared to the church? These four gifts will always have and maintain their value. They are priceless. Well, this morning, I hope this message has been beneficial. Think about it. Pray about it. May the Lord bless this message for his people. And I pray that you get the spirit with which I was talking. Well, this morning you heard his word. I hope you will believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, accept him in baptism. That's how you get into this body, body of Christ. Those who are already members, strayed away, been unfaithful, you need to come back. You need to be restored. You need to be restored today. And so, while truth, love, and mercy linger, make that choice for Jesus, while together we stand and sing.
Thank you.